Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We have a lot to talk about today. I don't even think an hour is going to cut it. Penn State, Ohio State, 27-26. Penn State loses that one. So we'll spend a good fair amount of time on that. I think there's a lot of Nittany Nation that needs to be calmed down a little bit. I'm not sure a few days after the fact is enough yet. We'll also look at this from a recruiting perspective because there was a lot of big-time players there on the sidelines that I want to get Greg's take on what that means. We'll also look around the Big Ten, around the country as well, and figure out what's happening in the college football playoff situation where Ohio State is now pretty firmly entrenched. So, Greg, I'd like to nibble around this a little bit, but I think you have to start right now with the play call late in this game. Penn State down 27-26, a minute and change to go, 4th and 5. You're knocking on field goal range. You have 2 timeouts called by Penn State, and they come out and they run a little zone read to Miles Sanders. James Franklin took responsibility for this, which is fair. That's fine. I think people can appreciate that to some degree, but what did you make of the call?
Well, to me, Dustin, it had nothing to do with James Franklin. I'm sorry. I just don't think it did. It was Trace McSorley said after the game that him and Ricky Ronnie, you know, they saw a certain look and they had talked about, they had talked about this look earlier in the week as one that they feel like they could get Ohio State's linebackers to move when they move Miles Sanders. And if you watch the tape, especially if you watch the Skycam view, Ohio State's linebackers did move right out of the way where Penn State was supposed to run. The problem was they didn't pick up Chase Young. And then the second problem was no one got to the second level to block. And neither of those things really matter in my mind because I understand that you saw this earlier in the week and you thought that this was something you could exploit against Ohio State, but anytime you're taking the ball out of Trace McSorley's hands in a game-winning situation, you're probably going to lose more often than not. It's just the way it is, and that's exactly what Penn State ran into on Saturday night. They lose 2 yards. They don't even get back to the line of scrimmage. To me, keeping the number 9's hands there and maybe see what happens, win or lose.
So if that's the case, if that's how communication worked, Trace McSorley and Ricky Ronnie see this, they saw it on film, they saw it, the 18 times they lined up before timeouts were called, whatever. Is there not a part of the communication here where James Franklin needs to say, fellas, listen, I get what you're going for here, but this is not the call at 4th and 5. Ultimately, it is James Franklin.
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly he could have stepped in and said, hey, look, this is not what we want to do. But if you watch the ESPN Skycam, which you can find on Watch ESPN, they actually go over Penn State's huddle on both of those timeouts. You can't hear anything, but it was a sense of calmness. Penn State knew exactly what it wanted to do. I give them credit for that. I mean, there was a conviction about that play call that said this
some
is what –
some people would feel worse about that.
Well, right? Yeah. I mean, I guess that's a good point too. But, I mean, either way you look at it, they knew exactly what they wanted to do. It did not work though. And, you know, hindsight 2020, you can sit here and say that, that was the play that lost the game and they should have done something else. But boy, were there a lot of other instances earlier in the game that helped Penn State lose this one too.
There was a lot of stuff, and it really started from the beginning all the way to the end. Missed opportunities in the early part of the game. You just felt like it was going to come back and haunt Penn State then. On that 4th and 5 call, I do feel like there were a couple instances in the game where Penn State was in pretty clear passing situations where they had some success with Miles Sanders. The one was when he cut to the sideline and tried to cut back and slipped on the field, slipped on the turf.
Yep.
Probably had a first down if he doesn't slip. And I think that was part of the influence there is that you managed to catch these guys off guard a couple times. You will never sell me on the idea of that not being in Trace McSorley's hands, but I think that's all part of the rationale for that 4th and 5. And I'll tell you, James Franklin is getting some pretty serious heat nationally from the fan base because this is not really the first time that he's done something. I think there's a lot of people out there who don't trust his in-game decision making in the first place,
right?
And then to feed into that the way that you know they fed into it in this game, there's a narrative out there that James Franklin and his in-game management is holding the program back. There's a big picture component to this that you know maybe it's emotionally driven after you lose a game like this, but there are some serious doubts about him. I don't know if it's fair or unfair. I'm not qualified to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I have a hard time getting that far down the road. I really do. Yeah. I think that he's made enough in-game calls. The problem is Penn State has, more often than not, in games against Ohio State, the one they lost last year and the one they lost, last year's loss, this year's loss, and then the win 2 years ago to go on top of the loss the year before that. More often than not, Penn State has just not had the ability to finish the game. And they weren't going to finish the game they won 2 years ago if Marcus Allen's forearm doesn't get in the way. Yeah. So, I mean, it would have been the same story if not for a tremendous special teams play. So, I just think more than anything, Penn State fans are probably disappointed this morning, and they were disappointed Sunday. There was a lot of people I saw and heard, too, that, you know, there was a sense of calmness in the fact that Penn State is finally, you know, they're where they're at as a program. You know, they're just a little bit away from where they need to be to win these games consistently. But there's another side of this equation, too, Dustin. You just wonder, when is Penn State going to finish, you know, and actually get the job done more often than not? Is it next year? Is it 2 years away? Or what is it going to take?
Yeah, I think this is a tough side-by-side. 3 years in a row, you have some pretty classic games. Penn State leads late in the last two and ends up losing them. Ohio State led in the first one and ended up losing that one. I think depends how you want to spin it.
Yeah.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com for the best single-game RV value in Happy Valley. Check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games. There's free shuttle to the game, large projection TV, free Wi-Fi. You can enjoy tailgating with 409 Tailgate Club, barbecue and wine, along with a bat beer. Go to PSURV.com for all the details. And also, check while you're there, check out the Keystone Sports RV, where you get a lot of this stuff all in one. I thought it was funny after the game. You know, James Franklin took ownership. You know, he had that incident, a little bit of a shouting match with a fan. None of that bothers me, by the way. If you're losing 27-26, I get like your head coach is supposed to be above that kind of thing. I understand that, but I think you have a free pass to be emotional no matter who you are in that situation. And if James Franklin's getting crap from the stands, fight it back. There's not much you can say, but fight back. But he's going into this whole great versus elite program thing, good versus great versus elite, and all the little things that need to be done and all that. And basically he made a vow that if you think I'm a psychopath now, wait until later. He made this promise then and there. But my question as I'm seeing this, the psychopath thing, that's his talking point. You know, he's saying, you guys are calling me a psychopath now. No. You're calling yourself a psychopath now. I get what he's going for, but, you know, I also feel like, I don't know. I mean, is there that much little stuff that needs fixed up
thing, nobody having a late arrival to chemistry class or getting a D on a math test had nothing to do with the fact that Penn State had a horrible 4th-and-5 play call, that they dropped a touchdown, Juwan Johnson did, that they dropped third down passes that would have moved the sticks. I understand where he's coming from, that if you do all the little things, the big things will take care of themselves. It has nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. It's bringing up stuff that does not matter to not talk about the fact that your team has not figured out a way to fix drops through 5 weeks. Your team has not figured out a way to close games for 5 years consistently. Your team has not figured out a way to, when they really need to, bear down and make adjustments. Penn State was a second half team all year and pretty much in the entirety of the James Franklin tenure, they've been a second half team, and they had some moments in this second half. But Dustin, you said it before we started, talking about this game. If Penn State would have went down and scored, if they would have scored quick, Ohio State would have just screen passed them to death right into overtime. So I just don't. Again, you can talk about all these off field stuff. I understand his message. I understand 1-0 and all this stuff. I get it. But it has nothing to do with the fact that on the football field, they just weren't good enough to win on Saturday. Even though all the stats went their way, when it comes down to it, they did not make enough winning plays on Saturday, so they lost by a point.
You mentioned the screen pass thing. I think that was one of the bigger – you can help me decide where this falls with coaching adjustments. Basically, Penn State said all week, and James Franklin reiterated it at halftime, that he felt good about being able to get Dwayne Haskins off his spot, bringing pressure, making him feel uncomfortable. And then Ohio State turns around again and again and again in the second half and takes what Penn State said it was going to do and what it continued to do, maybe kind of blindly, all through the third and fourth quarters. And just kept bringing pressure, and they just kept using it against Penn State with these screen passes. But it wasn't even just that. Just getting the ball into their playmakers' hands on the perimeter was a formula that was just – it was just going to work no matter what. There was a lot of bad tackling. You look at that Benjamin Victor play where he makes an awesome catch. Amani Oruwariye is playing the ball again. This is the second time where I've seen him – try to do something big with the ball and not just make the simple play.
Right. The other one was in Illinois, right?
I believe so. Yeah. So that works against them. There's missed tackles there. There's missed tackles everywhere. But really, Ohio State's formula, just get it out wide. These guys are pretty special playmakers. You got to give them credit for that. But Penn State's defense of that, schematically and execution-wise, I just don't think there's any excuse for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it would be one thing if it was a special play or a trick play or something that we hadn't seen before. But Penn State had seen this in the game they were playing, and they weren't able to just make an adjustment to defend it. Now, there's another side of that, too, which is that it's not all on the coaching staff. I mean, there are times when they had guys in the right spot to make, you know, they may have got 5 yards or it may have got 10, but it wouldn't have got 20 or 30 or 40. And guys either missed a tackle or overran the play or couldn't stop soon enough to get in position to make a tackle. So, you know, the one, there were a couple instances where, you know, Ohio State guy goes left and he goes right and he goes left. I get those are tough plays to follow. But again, if you think you're a national title contender, if you want to play for the college football playoff, you just have to make those plays. There's no way around it, and it's going to be a hard bye week for Penn State because they know that there were, you know, what, maybe 10 or 15 plays in that game that if they go a different way, the outcome is something different, and they weren't able to execute.
Ohio State made winning plays. Penn State didn't make winning plays when it mattered. This was a roller coaster. Penn State builds a lead, but you knew it wasn't enough. Late in that second quarter, Miles Sanders fumbles the ball. And a 13-0 game turns to 13-7. It could have very well been 20-0.
Right.
At that point.
You know, there's a lot of people blaming Miles Sanders, too, but there's also the fact that Penn State missed a field goal and didn't get 7 points on those drives
there's
before
too
that.
Much. There's too much blame to go around,
right,
really.
Sure. I mean, there's everywhere you look, you know, these guys are talking after the game about, well, it's in the details, like keeping your locker clean. No, it's in the details, like keeping going your, you know, red zone perfect streak where you have 22 touchdowns and to field goals. We saw Penn State finally go the field goal and miss field goal route, and it ends up in a loss.
I still think if Juwan Johnson would have dust-busted his locker area, he would have caught that touchdown pass.
Well, yeah.
That's just me. We got more coming up on the Penn State-Ohio State. We focused a lot on the negative, which is where people's heads are at. We'll get into some of more of the positive stuff after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.